League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You guys survived it? Look at Lance's in studio.
After spinning out my car.
What?
Yeah, there's ice all over the road. Are you kidding me?
Well,
yeah.
Why did you come in?
I didn't. I was just because I'm a hero.
You put yourself
I need a hero!
That's why.
I knew there was going to be ice because, you know, we have 5 inches of snow, at least here in my here where I am. Up north, they didn't. Up north, it's like, in Kingwood, I think it got down to about 18 degrees, but we're 24 degrees, so it didn't. The water didn't all, you know. It took me about 15 minutes to get out of my driveway because it's all iced over on my windshield. The snow is still it got frozen in a block of ice, and I don't have any. You mean that and the snow plows we have here and the salted roads? Let me tell you something, Richmond. Do not drive on the right hand side. That's just nothing but ice. So if you're listening, driving the middle lane is what you need to do. And then you, I ordered. Everything's closed for coffee because I left my house at about. I left the house at 6. I didn't officially leave the house until about 6:14 because it took that long to get. Like, there's no scrapers. I don't have anything to get. Frozen, you know, just had to use my hands to pull ice.
You turn the car on. You turn the car on. You turn the heat on. You turn the max.
It was.
The defroster on, and then go back in the house.
It was.
Drink your coffee.
I didn't have coffee. I had to go try to get it, and guess what? Everything's closed. And then
it's called, what is it called?
What if you don't have one? What if you don't have one?
Why don't
just listen to this. Just listen to this.
Hero! He's coming in from the ice, and he's saying it nice, and he's talking about sports.
Where have all the good men gone? They've gone to ESPN 97.5.
How about, so it said that they were open.
Bell's not a hero.
How about
he
this?
Walked across the street.
That's all right. He's heroic. He's here. He's here.
Because they got him a hotel.
How about this? So it said they had coffee at the Starbucks is open at Post Oak and Westheimer. So I ordered ahead, closed. Not only is it closed, the whole parking lot is ice, so they've closed it off. Like, you can't.
Hero!
The whole parking lot's ice, so you can't even get in. So, of course, I'm going to go get my money back. So I had to drive like an idiot. I got to circle around again. So I got on 610 to back to 59 to Fountain View. The overpass is nothing but ice. You better be going slow on overpasses, kids, because that sucker is nothing but ice. Going the 610 overpass into 59 South. So after a heroic 15-mile-an-hour drive down that thing,
Why did you do that instead of just going down Westheimer to the station? Which one was open? Oh, Fountain View in Richmond?
Well, I just stopped. You see the coffee. It's community coffee. I stopped at a a little gas station and got gas station coffee. Somebody pissed in.
And he's gotta be cool, and he's gotta have coffee, and he's gotta talk sports tonight.
I'm killing it today. Thanks, Del.
And he's got a meal, and he's eating breakfast tacos, and he's drinking his coffee tonight.
Hero. Here I am. Just me, just little old me.
I was able to survive, too, you know. I mean, it got down to about 60 here.
We're 23. This sucks. Like, I'm not going to lie. This wet. Like, this isn't what I like. I like 40s. Well, I like 40s.
Cold weather idiots.
I like wearing a coat. I don't like trying to find ways to get blocks of ice off your car. Snow was really great until it froze this morning. And it's not as great. It's not as great once it melts and refreezes. It's not as cool that way.
Del, are you staying at the hotel again tonight? Is it again?
I don't believe so.
I think it's gonna get up to
in the 40s.
It's gonna be in the 20s until like noon. I think it'll get over. Yeah, it'll get over freezing at about noon. But
yeah.
We're not. There's no precipitation, but hopefully the water will. Hopefully it'll all melt and dissipate by then. Well, it was pretty wild. Like I've never, never in my life did I see. So we kept snowing, John. We got seven or eight straight hours of snow, and I've never seen Houston. This is the first time in my entire life of living here, other than like 3 years where I didn't, two and a half, 3 years. I've never seen it like this ever. So it was fun. Like you know, people were outside. One guy had a golf cart and was pulling his kids on. I don't know, maybe a trash can. I have no idea what he was pulling his kids on. And they're driving through fun. The – yeah, he was doing that, and my daughter went out and did snow angels. What's that?
Skitching is when somebody pulls up to a stop sign, a bunch of us get on the back
and
grab the bumper, and then you ski down the street. He pulls you down the street. And they always jump out of the car. Get off my – yeah, okay. And then you jump back on, and it's just like –
It's like a movie. It's like Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
No, just a little bunch of little Italian kids jumping on a guy's car. You kids, get out of here!
But then you'll hit a dry spot and you'll hit it and you'll tear up your knees. Yeah, it's awful. Yeah,
wow,
it's bad. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, the dry spots are. Yeah, but in life you don't want dry spots.
As long as you can, kids, get out there and skitch. Get out there. Let's go.
You can get some minor skitching done today, but. It's just going to be,
early.
I mean, it's just going to, yeah, like, you know, heavily trafficked things are going to be fine. But there are going to be, so you got to watch out for some ice. If you're going to head in town, like I said, all the Starbucks are closed. So there's still going to be a bunch of places closed. But I would think that opens up today. I mean, we're going to be 70 degrees on Sunday. So we go from, 23 to 70. In a matter of about 3 days,
Sunday,
so
then. Yeah, I can come in Sunday. Probably. Yeah.
Saturday will be good too.
I'm like the Ted Cruz of the Houston Cold.
Well, we've been saying that for
your nickname has been John Cruz for a long time.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. We already know what you are.
That ain't.
Oh no, I was there for the winter freeze last year. Don't worry, or the year before, whatever it was.
It was 4 years ago. Yeah, you lived here.
I was there. Yeah, I did live there. That's right. I was there, and I came in. Actually, we came in from Mexico the day it froze. That's how committed I am to the city.
It's okay? A dumb you are.
And as Ted Cruz is leaving, I'm coming in. That's what I do because I'm heroic as well. 708 ES.
I want hero here, pal.
So everything's closed.
I need a hero!
See Lance dancing and pointing at the name on his jersey.
Okay. That's my new thing.
Yeah.
Last night for my birthday dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife, you know, we said,
"What'd you have? Nachos?"
Not for dinner, but chicken spectacular. I didn't want to do anything. I couldn't go outside and grill, and so I just like. Yeah, just make what we were going to make, and we'll just call it that. She got me a little piece of coconut cream pie, which is one of my favorites from House of Pies, like a couple days earlier. She hid it in the refrigerator. Pretty good hiding job, too. I didn't even see it because it would have been crushed. But so
Say, like, all right, bless the Lord for these, I guess, baptized to you from the bounty of the Lord. Amen. Hold on, guys. Also, thank you for Lance. He, you know, thank you for Lance, our, you know, my husband, your, you know, the kid's dad, blah, blah, blah. She's saying a little thing. And the whole time, all I'm doing is just giving it the two thumbs back on the name on the back of the jersey move the football right. players do, or basketball players both. And so that was, I decided that's my new move. And I said, come on, hurry up, guys. Come celebrate me whenever it was time for dinner. It's my celebration. Come celebrate me. That was pretty obnoxious. Didn't get a lot of work done. Didn't get a lot of draft work done because I get too easily distracted. Imagine that. But
no.
So draft work was not great. I almost finished with – I'm pretty much finished with Shedeur Sanders. It takes a long time to do quarterbacks. And today I do Dell's quarterback. Cam Ward is who I have to do today. So I'm interested to see that.
Number one overall pick.
So I had a I talked to somebody. I got a quote on Shedeur. And you know what? This guy told me this. And it actually makes sense. He goes, you got to remember – I said, man, he's just so cocky. He's just, you know, I worry about how, you know, I don't like that he threw his offensive line under the bus. And there's a lot of stuff that doesn't speak to leadership for him. He goes, well, he said, you got to remember this. this is a great quote. I'm using it. He said, you got to remember this. He grew up in a household with Deion Sanders. He said, Deion Sanders is an elite talent. He said, truly elite at his position, one of, if not the best to ever do it, and generationally arrogant. And he said, so what you've got is a quarterback who grew up with the most egotistical cornerback ever to play, and he presents himself as a cornerback. He said that's his, like, his default is that's what he's grown up with. Yeah. And he said the best thing for Shedeur Sanders would be to get away from that, is to not have his dad there.
It's
constantly
ingrained, though. And he's, I don't know that it just goes away.
See, that's what I want, and that's what I want to know. So here's what he said. He said, if you got him away from prime time, and you got him to, he said, into a system where he's hearing different people, because his dad's been his coach his whole life, basically. You got him somewhere where it's a different voice, different philosophies, different ways of doing things, different, you know, backup, like veteran players. He said, if he could take the coaching and humble himself, and that's the big if, he said, you might end up having a guy that could end up being, you know, a really solid game manager, which is kind of what my thought was. But the whole time I was really like, can he get away from, he said, he's trying to project himself like prime time, but he ain't that guy. He said, he's A, at a position where you don't do that, and B, he doesn't have that talent. He said, but that's who he, you know, that's who he thinks he is because he's grown up around it. And he said, as long as he thinks he's that way, he has no chance in the league. He said, if he can humble himself and get away from Deion's, you know, the exposure to Deion. And he was like, I'm not saying anything bad about Deion. I'm saying that this kid's a quarterback and needs to be, you know, have a quarterback vibe to him and not a cornerback. He said, because he's not some lockdown corner, which is the attitude that he portrays. I heard a really not great story about him at Big 12 Media Days, just that spoke to the arrogant stuff. And it's just, I just, you know, he's got such a chip on his shoulder, and I get it. Colorado's a us versus the world. And they brought a lot of that on themselves. But, you know, it's just, I was just thinking about quarterbacks, and our quarterback is still so, you know, team, team, team. He says all the right things, all the right things. And I think he means it. I really think that our quarterback, C.J. Stroud, means everything he says.
Yeah, he does.
But it's just such a, you know, it's just such a hard position to figure out, because it's a puzzle that doesn't really have one static solution. It's different for different guys.
It was funny, too, on his – we didn't play it yesterday, and maybe we should play it
today. That's on Dell, but
– yeah, I know. He doesn't
– he may have played it on his show. You don't know.
Yeah, he probably did. About CJ talking about what he's got to do this offseason to make guys better. And, you know, you know what? There might be something to that, because last offseason was the offseason of CJ. He's in China. He's doing podcasts.
CJ's in China.
Top five quarterback. He's doing, I mean, he did a world tour. It was the celebration of CJ offseason. Maybe this offseason is going to be more about, hey, we got to take another step.
Yeah.
What is that next step that we have to take, and how do we go about that? There is some Texans news. There's also Astros news that we have to get to. We got a lot of news to get to here on the show. But here's the deal. You got the championship games coming up this weekend. Then you got the big games coming up in 2.5 weeks, okay? What are you going to do for food? Because this is what, even if you're just sitting at home on the championship games with four of you or five of you, or you might invite a couple of people over, how about going to catering@niconicos.com? Catering@niconicos.com. Gyros, chicken skewers, the best cheeseburgers, I'm telling you, they are unbelievable. Spinach and cheese pies, pita and chips, tzatziki, garlic sauce, hummus, Greek fried meatballs, okay, lukamates. I mean, it is delicious, delicious. Make this a different kind. When was the last time you had Greek food as that you catered at the house and watched games with? I mean, it's fantastic, fantastic. And trust me, Demetrius knows how to tailgate. His son plays high school football, and he takes the tailgate out there every week. It is fantastic. So you're looking for some way to just order it and pick it up or get it delivered, however you do it. It's easy. Niconicos. There's three locations, Westheimer in Montrose, I-10 in the Beltway, and then Research Forest and I-45 now. You're looking for a great way to have fun at the games. Catering@niconicos.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. I don't know if it was jokingly or what. Yesterday you had mentioned Tyreek Hill, and you'd give up a sixth rounder, I think you said, for him, which would be nice.
Dell said a 2 and a 5.
A 2 and a 5.
And I would probably do that. That's,
yeah, 2 and a 5.
That's
would be,
that's a little different than Diggs. Like, yeah, Tyreek has issues too, but right now you got a little window that's open up. You're not rushed, but at the same time, you got to have firepower.
Well, apparently the Patriots are a team that are really, and which is, I would think, would be a horrible mistake for the Patriots, because if Drake May doesn't get him the ball, they're not going to win football games. It won't be long before he is disgruntled in New England. What could possibly
go wrong with that fan base and Tyreek Hill in cold weather?
It's a terrible idea. I think the Texans, because they are a better football team, it would be that's something that might be. Now, T. Higgins, everybody seems to be on him. He's from the Charlotte area. I saw stories on the Rams, the Steelers. It seems like everybody wants them some T. Higgins, and that might be difficult. But I think when Joe Mixon said that Casario's got something up his sleeve, that he's looking for something big, and Joe Mixon knows about it, that could very well be, hey, recruit, see if you can't recruit T. Higgins to come here. Maybe something to that effect. That certainly would be nice. Cooper Kupp yesterday announced that he will be back for another season. That's the kind of thing that I could see for the Texans. They don't have a lot of free agent money. Cooper Kupp might have something left in the tank. And you're desperate. You're almost desperate now.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can afford a T. Higgins or a Tyreek Hill with the money that they've got available, allegedly about $14 million this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
But I could certainly see where you'd go get a Cooper Kupp. That's like a Robert Woods kind of signing. That's the kind of thing that the Texans seem to do. And a Cooper Kupp might be a nice addition. I wouldn't mind. Now, as a number two receiver, I don't know. As a number two receiver, the Rams got as far as they did in the postseason,
mm-hmm.
won themselves a football game. But I don't know that he puts you over the top. It sure would be nice if they could find some kind of magic in the third or fourth round, like they did with Nico.
Yeah, I mean, you can. There's going to be those kind of guys. There always is, but it's a matter of, do you find them? I don't know that I haven't loved the Texans receiver evaluations. I mean, I love Nico Collins, and I thought Tank is an easy – that's an easy one. But Xavier Hutchinson is just kind of a, you know, plotting guy. Robert John Mechie, to me, they drafted – you know, I always thought John Mechie was – my grade on him was a 61, which is good backup. And they drafted him to be, I think, a future starter. Robert Woods, like, it's okay. I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad. I just I do feel like I don't mind Cooper Kupp, and I it is curious because they don't really – he went from being highly targeted to almost just out. Yeah. He's not a factor anymore with the Rams. Not really. Not like we were used to. But I have to believe somebody like CJ who has some accuracy, like Matt Stafford has, generally speaking, he's – you know, CJ's been pretty accurate except sometimes this year. But that's the kind of guy that I think he really would like from the slot. A veteran presence, you probably give him – you might be right. Maybe it's just a 1 year. Maybe it's a 1 year deal. Maybe it's a 2 year deal. That you know, it's really just a 1 year deal. You know, one of those things. So I don't know. I don't. That's an interesting name. I don't hate that name.
So apparently, too, the rumor is that Stephon Diggs is going to get a 1 year 15. He's going to get an Odell Beckham deal.
Yeah.
When Odell Beckham, they're about the same age. When Odell came off,
he's not going to like this one single bit.
He's going to get about a 1 year, $15, $16 million deal. And I don't know that that would be so horrible. I don't, I mean, maybe he would come, maybe he probably, it seemed like he liked it here.
I'd be okay with it. I do wonder how he's going to be coming off an ACL.
Well, right. Oh, no, absolutely. And Odell certainly didn't do anything coming off his ACL. But, I mean, they're different guys. But that might be something that you could actually afford right in your ballpark. And a guy who knows the system, a guy who was producing in the system, whether or not how, I don't know. I mean, guys come back from knees now. I mean, guys come back. So, and he's not, his value is up. Listen, when he got out of that 3 years, I thought, man, are you sure? Are you sure that this is the best move for you personally to get out of that 3 year deal at near 18 a year? And guess what? He's never going to get back to that. He's not getting back to those numbers. No way. So now they weren't, wasn't guaranteed anyway. So he could, you know, he would have probably got that. The team would have probably gotten out of it anyway. But if he continues to play on 1 year deals, he's going to continue to have incentive not to be a card carrying jerk, right?
I mean,
whenever you're playing on a 1 year deal, you're always interviewing for a team. So I wouldn't mind at all getting Stephon Diggs back here for 1 year.
It'd be a safe Texans fallback option. You know him. CJ knows him. CJ got along with them. He seems to get along well with the receiving core. It'd be one of those safe Texans moves. I mean, I could see it. Nick strikes me as a guy who's got a certain jacket that he likes to wear, and he's going to wear that. Like, he's got favorite clothes, favorite shoes. Same thing with D'Amico. Like, they got stuff they like, and they're just going to stick with the stuff they like. Meanwhile, you know, you went Azeez Al-Shaair over Cashman because Al-Shaair is a guy you knew. You know, he's tough. You know, he's a familiar, comfortable jacket, and that's what the Texans do, the familiar and the comfortable. That's fine. I mean, it's not like it won't work. Cooper Kupp would be a little bit different from how they typically operate. I guess Diggs coming off an ACL is fine. I mean, look, he was better this year. He got open. Diggs still had something left in the tank for sure.
Yeah.
And Cooper Kupp is, you know, didn't get as many targets. I don't know if that's a function of Puka Nacua being really good and Matt Stafford just being in love with him, or if it really speaks more to Cooper Kupp is losing a step, which that could be the case too.
Well, priority one is fixing that offensive line. Priority two is getting that wide receiver.
Yeah, and yesterday, if you missed yesterday because of Snowmageddon, D'Amico said as much. We got to get better. He said offensive and defensive line up front on both sides. He said we got to get those fixed. So I would think that means, you know, some coaching changes are likely, very possible to likely. I'd say likely on the offensive side for sure. I don't know about the defensive side. But I get the sense that he wants the interior of both fronts to make changes. That's my guess. Because he said offensive and he said up front on both sides of the ball need to get better. So how are you going to get better on defense? Well, you either coach it different or you get new guys in here. And they weren't always stout against the run between the tackles. That was an issue at times. So I think that could be, you know, they could rush the passer, but we could see them looking for a little something inside.
All right. Well, we got another holiday show here. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number to get in and hang with us, because it's basically the city is shut down and you're probably not working. You're up. You're listening. That's awesome. Big ups to Adrian this morning.
Our guy.
Adrian is our guy. We found out he was in the hospital, and he's dealing with some stuff. And he's listening to the show. So, Adrian, let's go.
He needs a hero.
Have a big day today, Adrian. Keep that chin up. We are talking right now, if somebody wants to bring him some Coors Lights, I think that's a great way for him to get through whatever any issue that you have. Coors Lights is the way to go. People were tweeting me. They put their six pack in the snow. They put their case in the snow. That's a great. Guess what? They turned blue. Because you know why? Because they were cold, because they were outside, and they were refreshing, okay? So then you bring them inside, or you stand outside and drink them too, if it wasn't too cold. When you're, you know, playing outside with the kids, you put your Coors Light in the snow, and it stays cold right there. I mean, that's just the best. Who doesn't have, okay, if you're going to play with your kids, the kids are home, and you're going to have some cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I'm sorry. I know that. Who is this? I can't say that name. But he says, my Coors Light froze. Okay? Yeah. Let's go. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. You're looking for a great way to celebrate the holiday, which is today. Climb on, brother.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Okay, before we go on, this is the third segment, and we still haven't mentioned Billy Wagner. Billy Wagner
going into
the Hall of Fame. Billy Wagner, not a lifelong Astro, but his best years were here with the Houston Astros. 9 seasons he was... he was fantastic. He was just a great, great closer. 7-time All-Star. He finally got in on the last ballot. Is the audio, can you hear him getting a phone call? Is it good? Is it good audio?
Well, you can hear him saying hello, and then most of the rest of it's him choking up. That's most of the audio, him. And then I think he might say thank you at the end, but it's more of a visual thing. We do have him talking about getting the call. He was on MLB Network, which was I'll get that ready.
All right, we'll get that. Billy Wagner, Houstonian. Thanks to Lance, he was pissed off at me for a good better part of a year. But other than that, I was in that locker room about every day when I was doing the pre and post game shows for the Astros, and Billy came on the show one time, and then we talked, and it was great. And then as soon as he got off the air, Lance started talking. He's only got one pitch, and he's got to develop another pitch. And then all of a sudden,
he was turning the radio. He must have either he was still on hold or he turned the radio on to listen.
He listened to the show after he got off,
What are these mother scratchers saying?
He didn't talk to me for the rest of the season. Then we go to spring training. I'm like, Billy, what is your deal? Well, I go on your show, and then right afterwards, you guys are slamming me. You're talking about how I only got one pitch. And I said,
throw that hook, baby.
I said, one person did that, my partner, and I can't control him. He says a lot of stupid stuff.
Strami would not have liked Billy's just straight heat. Strami would have put him on spin rate.
No,
there's not a man alive that wouldn't throw a curveball for Brent Strom.
He also would have had Tommy John. He also would have had Tommy
I'm
John.
The barber of Seville.
Butcher.
Billy Wagner was a great, and he is a Houston Hall of Famer now. Here's Billy Wagner.
Billy Wagner, how emotional was that phone call for you to wait this long to get the news you've been waiting for?
Well, if I get through this interview without crying, it'll be amazing. But, I mean, you know, I don't even know how to express it. From Southwest Virginia, I mean, when I think about what I represent from Division III to Southwest Virginia to state of Virginia, you know, it's such a blessing. You know, I mean, there's so much that goes, it's involved in this than just me. I mean, my wife being pretty much throwing every pitch with me and being involved in every step through college and high and minor leagues. You know, there's just so much that I'm grateful for.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And he did, he didn't use it all that much, but he did have a slider.
Yeah, he did.
He might have developed it because of you. I don't know.
No. He got the thing with Billy is once he got beat once on a hanging curve, he was like, screw that. I'm done with this. But really, he threw such gas that really got on top of you quick as a left-hander. I mean, it's a short left-hander. And he threw this gas somehow that got on top of you so fast that anything off speed, he just was an all gas, no brakes pitcher. He just didn't like off speed pitches.
But you do that and you make 7 all-star teams and you close out however many games that he 225, I think, for the Astros, and you go, well, I'm not going to get beat by my second best pitch.
Yeah,
but here, try to hit this, and you know what he did? He got a bunch of outs with it.
Yeah, no, and that's great. I just, you know, if you want to be your best, you guy can't be as predictable. That's all.
I don't know.
Noted pitching expert Lance Zierlein is informing Billy Wagner about how he should operate.
I've watched Greg Maddux talk, and
you're both Hall of Famers.
If there's one guy,
you can't compare Maddux.
There's similarities there.
Maddux didn't.
One's right-handed, one's left-handed. One hit 91.
100-mile-an-hour fastball.
One hit 91 a couple of years. Yeah. The other one threw it about 101.
Right.
You know, but what's the difference between driving 70 and 80? Not that much. 10 miles an hour is no big deal.
When it's 60 feet, 6 inches, it's a big difference. 10 miles an hour.
I guess that distance. But not over the course of 3 miles.
Not over the course of 3 miles. If Billy was throwing a pitch from 3 miles away, by the time it reached there, it would be the same as Maddux.
Billy was just best on best. You knew what you were going to see from Billy. It was a matter of, and if you hit it, you hit it a long way. Like guys who hit homers on him hit it a long way, but he was good.
I think it was like the fourth game in to Enron when Enron Field opened. He was facing Ken Griffey Jr., and it was one of the great matchups. It must have been a 13 pitch at bat, and Griffey got him. And it was just best on best, and it was so good. I mean, I'll never forget that at bat. Never. It was. I believe just right when Enron opened. I'm gonna have to go back and look at the year 2000 and see when they played the Reds. But it was. I mean, talk about what a matchup that was. You know what? That's great. Griffey and Billy Wagner is a Hall of Famer. Billy was always a great guy. Very humble. Just behind the scenes, didn't say too much. So, and just 5'9", and boy, but he had legs. He could bring.
Oh man, he is stout now. Yeah, he was stout, and a career WHIP just under 1, which is really good. You know, .99. His strikeout per 9 was 11.9, which is his good. I mean, all the metrics and the advanced metrics here, 273 FIP. He was. I mean, he was who he was, man. That guy was just coming with the gas, but he got to where, look at this. I mean, these are the numbers that the strikeout to walk stuff got a lot better for him early in his career. And, I guess his best, I'm trying to see, he's a 7-year all-star. Wow. That's really good. Yeah. Including his last year, John, do you know he pitched for 5 teams?
I didn't even realize that. How about this?
I forgot he pitched for Boston for a little bit.
He struck out 33.2% of the batters he faced in his career. That's the highest strikeout rate in Major League history among pitchers to throw at least 900 innings.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's ahead of DeGrom, Chris Sale, Blake Snell, Max Scherzer.
Those are all starters.
Yeah, I know.
And those, yeah, well, those guys build up and throughout the game, they're going to. How about that? One third of the batters he faced, he struck out. He allowed an opponent average of 184 in his career, the lowest of any pitcher to throw at least 900 innings. The next two pitchers on the list are Nolan Ryan and Sandy Koufax. He's also one of eight members of the 400 Save Club with 422.
Look at his strikeout per nine when he's. So I remember I was a camp counselor at a YMCA when Billy was drafted, and I remember when the Astros drafted him in the first round pick. And we were, you know, reading up on him, just voracious about sports, and reading up on him, and this guy throws gas, blah, blah, blah. And then when he gets to up to the league, he actually, I think I was a camp counselor. I'm looking. He made his rookie debut in 95. Did he pick, because I think he made it up there, so maybe I wasn't. Maybe I'm misremembering that. Did he play college ball?
He sat at Division III.
Yeah, so he must have made it up faster than I'm thinking. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe that's not what I was doing. Maybe I remember they drafted him and I was at the Y playing basketball. But because he made his rookie debut in 95. But how about this, John? In years 3, 4, and 5 in his career, these are strikeouts per nine. 14.4, 14.6,
wow.
14.9, and he finished fourth in the Cy Young Award.
Wow.
He finished fourth in the Cy Young Award in 1999. And then the year after that, he just, I don't know what happened. Billy had an ERA. He went from having a 157 ERA to a 618. That's probably when I told him he needed to go to a different pitch because he was getting rattled. But he had a 618 ERA the very next year. His strikeout per nine dropped to 9.1. Actually, Billy never even came close to those numbers until the end of his career. He got back to 14.9 strikeouts. Amazing. Well, that was much less. The last year of his career, he had 13.5 strikeouts per nine in 69 innings. Like, and he made the All-Star team. The very last year of his career at age 38, he had one of his strongest years, a 143 ERA. He went out like a G.
What team was he
last
with
year? He was with the Atlanta Braves. Well, had 37 saves. 1.43 ERA, struck out 13.5 per nine, and then shut it down. Made an All-Star team and said, "That's it, I'm done." At age 38, man, what a way to go out. So,
do you have a problem with the one guy that didn't vote for Ichiro?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course. That's a loser. That's a loser move by a loser person. I don't know who did it because Bill Collins dead, but I assume, but.
Why are you assuming Bill Collins is dead?
He's had some qualities that make me think he's dead by now, but he just feels like he's not alive. Am I wrong? I mean, I'll Google it.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, he does have qualities that make you think he's not alive, but I don't know that for sure. I don't want to.
Bill Conlon, American sports writer, died in 14.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he's famous for not voting for. Not wanting people to be unanimous first ballot Hall of Fame. Just the dumbest. At least that's what I feel like. At least on this show, we remember him that way. I hope we're remembering that correctly and not just putting him on it. But, no, I'm pretty sure that's true. And, you know, Ichiro was – this guy was an absolute – it was unlike anything we had ever seen. He spent many years – now, that's back in the day where you spent many years in Japan playing baseball. So he came in – you know, he was in his
27
prime.
Years old.
He was in his prime, but he had lost a lot of his early years.
Yeah.
And still, he could seemingly do anything he wanted with the baseball. And he was crazy fast, had a cannon for an arm, despite being a kind of a, you know, a slender, angular body guy, had a cannon for an arm, had unbelievable speed, stole bases at an outrageously successful amount or rate. And then could just place the ball wherever he wanted to as a hitter, like he was Japanese Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, he was. He absolutely was. And then when he wanted to or had to hit a homer, he just did. He just said, "Oh yeah, I could probably hit 30 or 40 homers a year, but I don't. That's not what I'm going to do." He was incredible. 3,000 hits when he didn't join the league until he was 27. Just incredible, incredible hitter. I mean, he made an All-Star team every year. Great defense. He was fantastic. You don't vote. That's the dumbest thing ever. I'm not going to vote for a guy for. Well, he was a Hall of Famer the day he walked off the field. While he was on the field, he was a Hall of Famer. That's just so stupid. And that's got to go. All right, we still got a lot of stuff to do if you want to get in.
Yeah, that's what it was. Colin didn't put Nolan Ryan on his first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yeah, just stupid.
Quipping that the only positive thing I can think about. Oh, no. No, he shouldn't have said that. He said something about Hitler, so I'm not going to read that. But, yeah, he drew criticism for failing to include Nolan Ryan on his Hall of Fame ballot. I mean, who does that? Nolan Ryan? Couldn't get on the ballot? Okay, Bill.
Okay. What an idiot.
Nice job.
Well, how about you know, I talked about the big game and getting catering. What about going to Taqueria Surround?
I mean, that's a play. That's definitely a play now. You can have them and actually they do catering for weddings, quinceañeras, birthdays, parties of, you know, you want to have the fellas come out and you're doing a big birthday party for somebody. Man, have them do the catering. Have them do all the fajitas and tacos and everything like that. That's, you know, it's authentic Mexican food that tastes amazing. Their lunch is a great way to take a little break from your morning, and then you got to finish up your afternoon. Well, you know what you want to do is go have a great lunch. Go have something that you really love. And if you haven't been there for a while, refried beans are authentic and fantastic. I mean, the entire meal from start to finish is going to be authentic Mexican fare, and it's going to be something that you like. It's going to be something that's filling, and it's going to be something that gets you moving for the rest of the day. And that's whether you're talking breakfast or lunch or stopping in for dinner. And, you know, a lot of people now are starting to realize the Aranda Sports Bar, which is the bar area of a lot of their restaurants, they've turned it into a sports bar because they want to have bar menu food, they want to have drink specials, and they want to have their televisions on games that you want to watch. So whether it's, you know, Premier League soccer in the mornings on a Saturday or a Sunday, or whether you're going there to watch baseball coming up or your playoff football games, they'll have the games on. You can watch, you can drink, you have food, fun, and friends all at Taqueria Surrounds, locations all over the city. Just search it up on your phone and get to Taqueria Surrounds.
You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. While we're on the topic of baseball, real quick, I had no idea Topps was doing this. Before every major leaguer's debut in the big leagues, they put a patch on his arm, and it says MLB debut. And then they take the patch off, and they put it on a card, and that player signs it. And it's only one.
Yeah, and they take little slivers of the patch, and they sell it, right? Like, they don't put the whole patch.
No, they put the patch. It's a little patch, and they put it on the card.
Oh, it's only one? It's one of one?
There's one. Oh. There's one. Well, that's there's only one.
Yeah.
And so, after his rookie season, guess whose patch card was drawing huge attention?
Not Jake Myers. I'm going to say Otani.
No. It was this past year, his rookie
year. Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Well,
I'll give it to you. It's Paul Skeens.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. His rookie debut patch autograph. And I'm looking at the card. Well, so Topps puts it one card in all of their packs. And then they send them all out. An 11-year-old in Los Angeles got one pack. And people have been buying boxes and boxes of these to get this card. And this one kid, an 11-year-old in Los Angeles, got the card. And it's worth a million. It's worth a million. He can sell it right now for a million.
Or hang on to it.
So the Pirates are countering with two season tickets behind home plate for the next 30 years.
Get the F out of here.
30 years.
Oh, a kid in L.A. who gets season tickets to the Pirates, yeah, who will keep Skeens for as long as he's arbitration eligible. Okay.
A softball game for 30 at PNC Park.
This is the worst.
A spring training experience like no other.
I can put together something better than this.
I know. It's bad. So, I mean,
a softball game for 30? Done. Forget the season tickets. I'm in on softball game.
Well,
golly.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing is, I don't want, what am I going to do with 30 years of season tickets?
Come up with that $2
million. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's not even, it's a no-brainer. Now, if you're a fan of the, and you know, he hits a big home run and you want to give him the ball because it's your favorite team, that's one thing, right? But this kid's in Los Angeles. He don't care about no season tickets.
What in the world do they
Pirates?
Think that they're doing? We'll give you two behind home plate. Yeah. What?
For
Are you firing up the PJ so I can make it to those games?
I know. This right. has to be one of the – they're just asking to be made fun of.
I guess.
It's real simple. Come up with $2 million.
That's all.
That's
well, yeah, right. All right. I'll beat the $1 million bid.
Listen, this is like stock market. I mean – You got something that, you know, frankly, if Skeens does what we think he's going to do, you hold on to that thing, and every year it goes up. In 10 years, that could be worth,
yeah.
I don't know, $5 million maybe. I don't know the rate of return. I don't know the rate that it, you know, it may be overvalued right now in some regards, so maybe it won't go up quite as fast. But, yeah, that's, yeah, why not, man? Just hang on to that thing. Absolutely. How old is a kid, 11?
11.
Yeah, hang on to it. You're going to pay for college. You're going to be good. Or you could not take the chance. Maybe don't take the chance. Maybe
I'm going to take the mill right now and pay for my college.
And he's from L.A.?
He's from L.A.
Do we know the status of family members' homes? Would that be an impetus to like?
Well, that can't buy a home out there. But what it can do is get 1 year of home. It get 1 year of homeowners insurance.
It can't $1 million or whatever the tax will be. Can't buy a home. I know it can't buy a palatial estate.
Well, after taxes, we're talking probably. And then you got state taxes.
Like,
so it comes out
not
to
where you're living, John. Not where you're living, but it can't be a down. How much? It could go towards a home.
He can go to the valley.
Yeah, I don't know where that kid in L.A. What part of L.A. he lives in, but I mean college. Get a place for the family. I don't know, but Pirates tickets, get out of here.
Unless you're on now. Here's the thing: you might be on like Quick Assist trying to sell those homes. Maybe you say yes for 30 years. Now let's think about this for a second. You could sell those tickets at a discount. Make sure they move and say, "Look, I will sell these." Or maybe you're selling, now that's $1 million, but for 30 years, maybe you're selling your tickets. You get somebody to buy the whole season packet at a discounted rate behind home plate, and maybe you're able to sell those to every year. I don't know how many, like, I don't know. What does that stuff cost, John? 82, you're talking 80, 81 games. Yeah, what would that cost in Pittsburgh?
Behind home plate is probably $200 a game.
Per seat?
Times two, that's $400 a game, times 80.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're 32,000.
32,000. No, that's 30 years.
No, that's about the same amount of money.
That's a lot of work.
Well,
give me $1 million now.
Well, not if you just sell it at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, you got to do it every. I mean, no.
If you sell it at the beginning of the year and you say
well,
here.
Those will go up, too. Those will go up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so will the cost of living, but yeah.
Right.
So that's why typically like taking money up front because cost of living goes up and inflation and all that stuff, but. It would be a pain in the ass to have to fade that stuff for 30 years of making sure you got to sell those tickets. But at the same time, you don't get take the same tax hit. You create an LLC, and then you have write-offs for it, and you don't even take a tax hit at all.
I mean, I don't know what kind of write-offs you're going to have.
Well, because, I mean, you can take the million and get about 40, get 400,000 or more slammed off of that thing, or you create an LLC in another state. And then you know, the money you make your little $32,000 off of that, off the tickets, and then you write it off. You offset it against some expenses, and now all of a sudden you're saving money.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry you hate money. Don't worry about it.
More fires, guys. More fires going on, only not here. Mission Valley, San Diego. It's right in the middle of San Diego. There's 3 fires have broken out. So
no way.
Today. Yeah, yeah.
Somebody lit those on purpose.
Well, this might have been yesterday. So it is.
Are you worried about people lighting fires on purpose since they saw that up in Oregon?
They
up in Oregon.
Somebody right where I live here.
Yeah, up in Oregon like 5 years ago they had somebody doing that.
Yeah.
And now that's where our boy Eric Layden is out that way.
Yeah, no. He's right there in San Diego. I mean, I think there's been at least three arrests here in L.A. for people trying to.
Like I said, put to death, and that's it. Public execution, and then we just say, "I'll bet you don't do it again." No. Now you just don't do
it. Well, they're dead, so
it's deterrence.
They wouldn't do it again.
Well, we tell other people. Who's thinking about doing this?
I feel like
who's thinking about setting fire to everything and burning everything to shreds?
I feel
because
like
now you just can't.
The death penalty's been around for a while.
Yeah,
and
people still
murder each other.
Yeah. It happens.
Yeah, but we're telling you specifically if you do this.
Well, people know. Depending on the state and the aggressiveness of the crime, you kill someone, you could die by the government killing you, and they still do stuff. So I'm not sure killing people is going to keep people from setting fires.
Murder still is very much still in style.
Oh, yeah. So, it's red hot right now. Public executions of executives couldn't be more popular.
Yeah, people don't murder people thinking I'm going to get caught. I'll murder them and get away with it. No one's going to catch
me. Now, they caught that dude in L.A., the one you're talking about. The people in the neighborhood caught him and zip-tied him. I would have hit that guy so hard with a shovel. Like, got my licks in before cops came.
There was one right here in Los Feliz going up Griffith Park that they found.
So was that guy walking?
They found another guy with a blowtorch.
Yeah, wasn't that the guy
got? No way.
He happened to be walking around with the blowtorch for what? You can guess the reason. Yeah, you can guess the reason.
He could have been a chef trying to make some creme brulee.
I don't know what he was doing, but, hey, you got to read the room. No matter if it could be for the most innocent reason, don't walk around with the blowtorch now.
What innocent reason do people carry blowtorches?
I mean, maybe it was for something non-destructive, like
maybe
setting a fire. Who knows?
Maybe he was a chef.
Oh, I'm delivering this to the restaurant.
I don't know what it could be, but if he wasn't trying to set a fire, you got to read the room, man. Don't get seen with the blowtorch. Yeah, this is not the time for it.
This is not a great time to be carrying around a blowtorch.
No. This is one of the worst blowtorch times that we've ever seen.
Ever had. All right, this is one of the best times for you to get your windows at Gulf Coast Windows. I'm looking at our windows here. We could certainly use Jim Fiume in here. I'm telling you, these windows are not great. They're not double pane doubles. They're not Gulf Coast windows. They're just windows. And here's the deal is right now, you're finding out. You go by your window to look outside. Man, it's colder over here. Well, that's the first indication that you have crappy windows. That you need Gulf Coast Windows. You walk over to a Gulf Coast Windows, and the room temperature doesn't change, okay? Because they're the highest quality, of installation, the best warranty you're going to find, doors, windows, it doesn't matter. Jim Fiume has put together a company where you are going to get the best quality, period. Whether it's vinyl windows or aluminum windows or hurricane windows, wood-clad windows, if you're building a home or a business, use Gulf Coast Windows. They pay for themselves in the long run with the energy money you save, with the security, with the privacy, all of it. GulfCoastWindows.com. You tell Jim Fiume, and not only windows, but doors as well. The storm doors, wood-clad doors, sliding patio doors, French doors, whatever it is. You tell Jim Fiume you heard it right here. 713-849-5454 or GulfCoastWindows.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.